From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
And welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And if we sound a little odd, we are sheltering in place. I'm in my apartment in Manhattan, and Jason is in his apartment in Los Angeles. Our wonderful crack team of Bruce and Jennifer, our engineer and producer, are in the studio. And as always, we want this to be kind of like a town hall, kind of like a great cocktail party, but one with social distancing. So if you'd like to call us, 800-848-9222 is the number. And to get the conversation started, we thought we might talk about ways one can travel right now, which is virtually by watching a great movie. So are there movies that you love that really give you that travel experience, that really make transport you to a place you would want to be? 800-848-9222 is the number for that question of the day. Jason, do you have any favorites?
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I kept thinking of movies that were directed by the same person, David Lean. He was sort of the king of this widescreen location movies. He, of course, is the guy who did Lawrence of Arabia. The movie that he did Dr. Zhivago, although that was shot in Spain and not Russia. But the movie that came to mind for me was Summertime. It's Katharine Hepburn goes to Venice. And it's this beautifully shot widescreen movie, shot by, I think, 1955 or so. And it really does evoke what it's like to be a tourist in Venice. So I'll say Summertime.
You know, there's a moment in that movie where Katharine Hepburn falls into one of the canals of Venice, and they tried to make that an okay moment for her by putting, it's kind of a thing of that seems apropos for today, but they put all kinds of sanitizing elements in the water to try and kill any bad bacteria in that incredibly dirty canal. And she fell in and she picked up some kind of bug that she had problems with for the rest of her life.
You really did manage to turn my movie moment into another pathogen moment.
I'm sorry. But
okay, I'll say Out of Africa then. She gets a disease in that one too.
Oh, jeez. I was going to say a movie I saw recently on Netflix, The Two Popes, and I didn't realize this. It's kind of fascinating because it's about the current pope and the last pope and what went on to allow them to have a new pope when one was still living. And there's this incredible scene in the Sistine Chapel where they kind of duck into a side room because the doors are opened and tourists come in. And then Pope Benedict decides to go out and greet the tourists. And I thought, wow, how did they get the right to go and film in the Sistine Chapel? And I learned they didn't. They made one, and it looks so real. I mean, it really is extraordinary. Now, I hope they didn't make up that there's this little side chapel that you can duck into if you're the Pope and you want to escape the crowds. But it was such artistry to create this perfectly proportioned and gorgeously rendered Sistine Chapel. I wonder how long that took them. And, you know, we're going to be doing an article on Fromers.com on just this topic, which is another reason we're hoping you'll give us your ideas of great movies. So I see that we have Joe in Paterson, New Jersey on the line. Hey, Joe, nice to speak with you.
Hey, great show. Thanks. You know, the movie that got me going and ever since I saw, I've been wanting to go to Tokyo, and that's the Bill Murray movie, Lost in Translation.
Yeah, I love that movie. That was the first movie for Scarlett Johansson. That's the movie that made her a star.
That's amazing. But ever since then, I've been have an itch to go to Tokyo. So I can't wait one day.
It's such an interesting movie, too, because it really is about the alienation that the Bill Murray character feels for other reasons, not just because he's in Tokyo. So it's very interesting that I know so many people who have been inspired to go to Tokyo by this movie that maybe doesn't show off the best of Tokyo, but people still want to go because of it, because it's such a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, it shows...
We're so vibrant. It was just amazing.
Yeah, very vibrant and seedy at certain points. And then you saw kind of the high life in Tokyo because he's staying in this glamorous hotel. And the thing that tourists from the U.S. always have to get used to, although we're starting to do this in New York, is the best restaurants aren't on the ground floor in Tokyo. So you see him constantly in these beautiful areas where you have these extraordinary cityscapes out the windows. But some weirdness in that movie, too, which to me really reflects Tokyo because it's a strange culture sometimes.
I'd like to make one more comment.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm really upset to hear that the Hilton Hotel in New York is closing. I guess it got too big, and I guess it became out of date. But I'm sorry to see that go. To me, that was like a legendary landmark on the Avenue of the Americas. So I'll miss it in the 50s on 6th Avenue. Great show, guys.
Wow.
I'm gonna hang out and listen.
I didn't hear that. I had no idea that that was happening. Where did you hear that? Okay. Well, I guess we lost Joe. Let's talk.
Oh, he was listening. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk next to Lucy in New York City. Hey, Lucy, I hear you have a question for us.
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah. I'm scheduled to go on a cruise to a Carnival Cruise Horizon. Leaving from Miami on middle of April. Now, I booked to a travel agent. Now, he's saying we'll have to wait 30 days after that. I'm wondering if after 30 days, I don't wait to see if they're going to cancel or not. They say they're going to clean the ships. Meanwhile, they're going to disinfect them so everything okay by the time our cruise comes up. I don't know if we have to wait till the end until, I think, March 30th, he said. If they're going to cancel or I can cancel before. If I don't cancel, do I still have to go on that the cruise, the day that they're saying the cruise is going to be?
I am really surprised that your travel agent is telling you can't cancel. Most cruises for the next couple of months, I think, have been canceled. So call your travel agents and read them the Riot Act. Tell them you want to cancel. I don't think that cruise will be leaving. Jason, am I being too cynical?
I don't think that cruise is going to go anyway. Some other cruise lines have canceled all of their cruises through April. So I think they will even cancel that before you even get a chance to board, and this won't even be a question. They'll probably give you a credit to use on another cruise within a year. But if you do have the option to go, I don't think you should go. That's the third part of my answer. I mean, I don't think it's an option that you should get on that ship right now.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Not only... Have cruises had problems? A lot of ports haven't been letting them land, which is one of the reasons why they did cancel. Now, in terms of your money, certain of the cruise lines are giving people their money back or giving them the option to take a credit for a future cruise for 125% of the cost of the coming cruise. So you should ask your agent if both of those options are open to you and then decide what you want to do. I don't remember offhand what Carnival's policies were. I know that it varies from line to line. Sorry, Lucy, I cut you off.
Oh, yes. I was wondering, I haven't booked my flight. I don't know if they're going to charge me astronomical. It's, you know, a lot of money by waiting. I don't know. Again, I don't know if the cruise is going to go on the 18th.
Did you say you have not booked your flight? Because you should not book a flight at this point.
Don't book a flight.
Okay.
We don't think
you
should go on this cruise.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't cancel it, the track record right now on cruises is even if you're healthy, sometimes people are getting stuck on a ship while they screen everybody, and it can take a few days. I just don't think it's a great moment to be on a cruise. Whether it's safe or not, I don't know. I just don't think that right now the system works very well. And you may find yourself stuck when you don't want to be stuck.
Yeah. Good luck, Lucy. Talk to your travel agent and cancel that. Cancel that.
Thank you.
All right. Let's turn to Dolores in Elmhurst, New York. Hey, Dolores, we hear you have a favorite travel-themed film.
Yeah, it just popped to mind. I love your show. Roman Holiday with Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck. the Spanish Steps, eating gelato on the motor scooter. You know, it's just so classic.
That movie's a heartbreaker, too. I don't want to give it away, but
oh,
it's such a killer.
Whatever. Yes, and the reason is because somebody recently, my family, a couple of months ago, came back from Rome in Italy right before all this started. And anyway, they self-quarantined. They're fine. But anyway, so I made a comment about Rowan Holiday on their Facebook page.
That is a great idea. And, you know, there's another movie that came out in the last 20 years that has sort of like a new generation take on Rowan Holiday. I think it's Before Sunrise. Do you know that one?
I was going to mention that. The Richard Linklater film. Yes, of course. Absolutely. Yes.
Because a lot of Richard Linklater's early movies were people talking as they were walking places. And in this case, it's backpackers who meet for the first time in Vienna and spend an hour and a half walking through the streets of Vienna. And it's actually shot there. So you really get a feel for the city that if you haven't seen Before Sunrise, Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy, it's a real delight.
Yeah, yes. It's a real sweet film. All right, we have to take our first commercial break, but Ellie and Frank, we will get to you when we get back. Anybody else who wants to call, please call. 800-848-9222 is our number. We'll be right back.
This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Travel Show. 800-848-9222 is our number. We invite you to call. We're talking about movies that give you the travel experience, which is a subject we are covering on Frommers.com. We have a lot of really fun, photo-rich, history-rich, inspiring content there. So we hope you'll visit us, especially now that we're all trapped at home. We might as well just keep traveling in our minds if we can. I hear that Frank from Flushing wants to give some advice to Lucy, who called in earlier. Thank you for calling, Frank.
Oh, my pleasure, Pauline. Jason, I spoke with you last week.
Hi. It may have been 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Whenever it was, I'm losing track of
Yeah.
In any event, number one, go to the cruise line websites. There are updates all the time there. I can tell you about Celebrity more than Carnival because I wouldn't go on Carnival personally, but that's another story. Celebrity through July will let you right now cancel up to 48 hours prior to the cruise.
Give you a good policy. Credit. Yeah.
And also, if you book the air with them, they'll let you change the air, no penalties. Only the only other charge might be a difference in airfare. So it's really wise to book everything with them. They protect you in case there's a delay. You're not harmed by it. They take care of you. It's foolish. And this travel agent telling her whatever she said, he said. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's incorrect. Crazy.
That's just not so.
Right.
Yep,
yeah.
I agree.
No, I was shocked by that.
Well, we do have a link to many of the major cruise lines, airlines, tour companies, cancellation policy pages. We have a whole list of them on Frommers.com. If you go to the front page of Frommers.com, it's listed as the COVID-19 cancellation policies. And so if there's anyone wondering, well, I have booked something on another cruise line, we have the page for you to check, so you'll know exactly what you're going to get, because it does vary by cruise line. And some of the airlines, interestingly, Pauline, they're even now saying, look, we're overwhelmed with the phone calls. We know we may not even get to you. If you miss your flight, it's okay. You'll still get the credit. You won't lose that money. That's how the airlines are handling this, because they realize they just can't cope with the calls that are coming in. I know Delta has done that, and I think Virgin Atlantic have done that. So if you miss a flight, I don't know how many of us still have flights booked at this point, but if you do miss the flight, you still get the credit.
Right,
And a fast movie?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure, please.
It's really not a lot of sightseeing, but being an avid cruiser, I love Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau Out to Sea.
Oh, that's one I haven't seen. Yeah.
No, I've never seen that.
Later movies, right? When they're older guys.
One of the last movies they made.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, great. Well, thank you so much for calling, Frank. I now know what I'm going to rent tonight since I've never seen that one. Let's talk next to Ellie in Hudson County. Hey, Ellie, thank you for your patience. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your wonderful show and for always coming up with an interesting topic to get us thinking about travel.
Oh, thank you.
Many years ago, I got to see Cary Grant and Grace Kelly in To Catch a Thief. Mm-hmm. And I loved their scenery from Monaco, Monte Carlo. And this past summer, I was fortunate. Frank would be happy to hear this. I took the Celebrity Edge, the new ship, and we went to Monaco, Monte Carlo. We spent the whole day there. It's beautiful. You know, I can imagine them driving down the coast and it's the scenery from the movie. So it's nice to see a movie which will inspire you, and then someday we can fill our bucket list and travel to a destination.
Very
Agreed,
true.
Totally.
Ellie.
And Ellie, that movie is even better because that's the movie where she was shooting it. She met Prince Rainier. So yes. That movie made her eventually fall in love and move to the very place they shot it. So in that case, travel really did change her life, that movie.
Thank you, and keep us traveling and planning for the future. Thank you.
We'll do our best. Thanks, Ellie. Let's talk to Lloyd in Staten Island. Lloyd, it's always so nice to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
I just came back. I was on a Norwegian cruise around Cape Horn, leaving from Buenos Aires and going to Santiago.
Wow.
And I got back. The ship did not go back. It was supposed to go through the Panama Canal to New York for people back-to-back cruises, and then pick up people from New York and go to Europe. I got off at Santiago. Those people, this is just a week ago came back, they had to get a flight out and stay in Santiago in a hotel, and the people on the cruise, the workers, were going to be furloughed, they thought, once they get to New York. They said, anyway, but I called up about, I just wanted the name of the travel company you went to Vietnam with that might go to other places.
Oh, yeah, they go to a lot of places. It's called World Spree. World Spree is their name. They're absolutely terrific. S-P-R-E-E, like you're having a shopping spree, but instead you're seeing the world. World Spree. You can find them online at worldspree.com. And I'm glad, it's really heartening to hear that people are thinking about planning their future trips. I think a lot of folks are... I mean, this is a very weird time. Nobody knows what the future will hold. But I, for one, have to be optimistic that we will get our lives back.
Of course we will. I read this quote 2 weeks ago when you weren't here, Pauline. It's, every storm runs out of rain. And this too shall pass. We just don't know when it will pass. And that's why we're anxious.
Exactly. All right. Thank you for calling, Lloyd. Let's turn to Chuck in Flushing, New York. Hey, Chuck, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi, Pauline. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks.
Well, I called you before about the Oberammergau play, but first I'll touch into the movie. I think The Sound of Music was a great thing in Salzburg, Austria.
Good choice.
Yeah, I've seen that movie maybe 15 times. I love it so much. It's such a great movie, and it really brings Salzburg to life. What a gorgeous place.
Well, I had called you earlier in the year because I was concerned that I couldn't find a single to go to the Oberammergau play, but I found one with Colette Tours. Now, it's going to be in September, and I just wondered if you've heard anything. Have they canceled Oberammergau?
Hey, Chuck, they haven't canceled it, but they have postponed it. On Thursday, the German National Tourist Office announced that the Oberammergau Passion Play will happen now in 2022. So it's not going to happen this year out of an abundance of caution. I think they think that, you know, we still might be in the dregs of whatever the situation in come summer. So they're giving it lots of time, and they're going to start May 21st, 2022.
In fact, we wrote about this. We have a blog with updating pretty much daily of what's going on in terms of cancellations, in terms of different regulations regarding travel. If you come to frommers.com, we did cover Oberammergau and other strange things that are happening.
And
in the
for
travel.
Listeners who don't know what Oberammergau is and why they would delay it 2 years, it happens every 10 years normally. And it's been going on since 1633. It's this wonderful, majestic 5.5-hour passion play, as it's called. And that's how they can delay it for 2 years, because normally it happens every 10. We don't know if it's going to happen again in 8 years after that, or if they're just now going to do one in every number 2 year. But the next one is 2022.
Oh, sorry to disappoint you, Chuck.
Yes, sorry,
well,
Chuck.
Well, that's okay. I'll just call the travel agent and I'll make a rearrangement.
Yeah,
and right. And I really thank you. Your show is great. Both of you are wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. All right, let's turn to Jean in Beacon, New York. And Jean, I hear you have a couple of suggestions for us.
Well, I have so many suggestions, but I know that I'm only one among many. two movies that come to mind that I saw as a youngster in the mid-1950s. One of them was Three Coins in the Fountain that focuses around the Trevi Fountain in Rome.
Uh-huh.
And also is filmed up in Venice. You know, beautiful movie, really a wonderful movie. Another movie I saw that same time in the middle 50s was Love is a Many Splendored Thing in what was then the colony of in China, of Hong Kong colony.
Huh. I've never seen that one.
I think I need to see that, because Hong Kong has changed so much since 1955 when that movie came out. I think I really need to see that one. That's a great suggestion. I'm going to go find out if that's streaming as soon as the show's over.
But another
Go ahead, Gene.
A movie called The Way, and it's the story of a father who goes over to rescue his son who dies while walking to Compostela in northern Spain.
Huh. This is great suggestions. This is great because we're learning about things that we're going to be able to watch now. I wouldn't have known about that movie otherwise, but now I'm looking it up. It's about 10 years old. Yeah, I'm going to check it out. Martin Sheen.
Another movie to see, and you know, this, I won't take up any more of your time. It's a movie called My Life in Ruins. It's a story of a guide in Greece who takes a tour group around the Aegean and shows them all the ruins of Crete and Athens and Ephesus, and you know, just a marvelous movie that stole my soul.
Gene, before we go to break, will you tell us the name of that movie one last time?
My Life in Ruins.
Thank you.
Okay, My Life in Ruins, and the other one was called The Way.
The Way.
The Way.
Wow, you are expanding my list. Thank you so much. We do have to take a break now. Anybody else who wants to call, 800-848-9222 is always our number. Please call us. We'll be right back.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show. Only here, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Okay, we're having fun at the movies today. We're talking about the movies that take you elsewhere, that allow you to travel even when you're stuck in your darn apartment. And Fred in Manhattan has a movie he'd like to suggest. Hey, Fred, thanks for calling.
Hi, it's a Valentine to Paris. It's Fred Astaire, Kate Thompson, Audrey Hepburn, Funny Face.
You got me with Fred Astaire. Any Fred Astaire movie, I'm hooked.
It's great with that famous song "Bonjour Paris." So that's
was it filmed on the back lot though? I wonder if any of it was actually in Paris.
No, they did a lot of location in Paris, especially outside the Ritz, you know, in the Place Vendôme.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I've got to see it. That's wonderful.
Think
yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Fred. Bye. Appreciate you
Thanks,
calling.
Fred.
Let's talk to Warren in Queens. Warren, which travel movie do you want to suggest?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi.
In spite of all the madness. You came up with another one while I was thinking. I'll do that one quick first. They're 20 years apart. 1949, Burgess Meredith and Charles Laughton, The Man on the Eiffel Tower. I saw that on a DVD in black and white. What's really cool about it is that there's some scenes filmed right on the Eiffel Tower just post-war. And the views and to see old Paris and everything like that and up close on the Eiffel Tower is a pretty stunning thing. The story's a little thin, but it's a good drama. And then speaking of France, the Pièce de Résistance, my favorite travel movie is If It's Tuesday, This Must Be Belgium. That came out 20 years later in 1969. I saw it as a kid. I'm dying to see it again. For anybody who's jonesing to travel, especially on a cruise or this takes place on a bus tour through Europe, It is funny as hell from minute to minute. It's an hour and 39 minutes long. It's got a 14-person ensemble cast. Suzanne Plachet and Ian McShane are the leads. Murray Hamilton, Norman Fell, Peggy Cass, Sandy Byron, who steals the movie. Donovan, the pop musician, is
the singer, yeah.
Michael Constantine, Joan Collins is in there briefly, Ben Gazzara. For you, Pauline, I think of like when your dad was putting his business together, kind of, he might have gone through some nutty stuff like this too. It is just so well written.
He absolutely did. You know, my father was a tour operator as well as a guidebook publisher for about 15 years. So anything that could happen did happen to him as a tour operator. It's a different beast than traveling alone. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Warren. Those both sound great. I'd never heard of the Eiffel Tower one. That sounds really fascinating. All right, we have Mary in Trumbull, Connecticut up next. Mary, thank you for your patience.
Oh, thank you. Your show is a lifeline, especially at this time. The two movies I'd recommend are, one is an old classic, Around the World in 80 Days, which I saw as a kid, and the other one is Dr. Zhivago.
Great choices.
But Dr.
And together,
Zhivago,
there'll be like 4 days of viewing because they're both really meaty, mealy movies. They have a lot going on in those movies. They're both very long, and I love a long movie.
And Dr. Zhivago, it was filmed not in Russia, though, right? Jason,
in Spain,
you know the answer.
But it's still beautiful. I mean, you really feel like you're there. But yes, that was shot in Spain. Around the World in 80 Days is a mix between location shots. They did a whole lot in London, but they did also little shots all around the world as well. And in fact, at the very end of the movie, where Gwyneth Johns and Hermione Gingold are betting on who's going to win, it's in a pub called The Grenadier that is one of my recommended pubs in the London Guide that I write for Frommer's. So it's weird to see these places that I know as a traveler and a writer up there on the screen, you know, in the past. And I realized, hey, man, this history goes back a long way. I'm going to, by the way, add for everybody listening, if you're hearing all these movies and you don't know where you can possibly stream them, it's no fun to go from service to service to service and try to search for each title. There's a website called justwatch.com, and you can enter it and it'll show you where it's free and where you can download it for money. So you just go there to figure out where it's playing. That'll save you a lot of time.
Oh, that's good advice. Thanks, Jason. All right, let's turn to Jean in Manhattan. Jean, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. I love your show. The movie that I wanted to recommend was The Quiet Man from Ireland. I mean,
classic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the scenery is spectacular, and sort of the story is a lot of fun. And, you know, it's just a beautiful movie. And the actors, it's just an amazing cast. Barry Fitzgerald and Maureen O'Hara. Yeah, so that's what I had.
It's a good choice. And it's one of those movies that people love so much, even though it's been such a long time, that they go to where it was shot to try to see. And I think it's the Village of Cong, right, in Ireland.
Yeah,
It's kind of a tourist site on its own. So that's a good choice. A lot of people love it.
And created a tourist industry there. Sorry, go ahead.
That other movie that man suggested, Love is a Many Splendored Thing, it was starring Bill Holden, William Holden, and it's a fantastic movie with a fantastic theme song. So it's definitely worth watching that as well.
Love is a many splendid thing. Isn't that how that goes?
Do we have to pay rights now? Yeah, that is that song.
I hope not.
Someone mentioned Three Coins in a Fountain before, too, and I was wondering if you were going to start singing that as well.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Gene.
All right. We have Elliot from Chestnut Ridge on the line. Elliot, always lovely to speak with you.
Yes. In the 1950s, there was a producer called Samuel Brunstein. And he filmed these CinemaScope spectacles. And the one he produced that I remember was called The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. And he built a complete replica of the Roman Forum outside Madrid. And in the early 60s, I got to visit the set, and I was the only one to be wandering around the set. And finally, in 1985, my wife and I went to Rome. So that was a movie that inspired me to visit Rome.
How great.
I have two other quick ones.
Sure.
Yes.
We were talking about Paris. How about Charade, the original, with James Coburn, Walter Matthau, and George Kennedy? And then they made a terrible remake a couple of years ago, but that's one I would recommend, Charade. And then the third one is Troy with Brad Pitt, and they filmed it in Malta. And that was another memorable movie that I would recommend.
I love your choices. They're not the obvious choices, and that's always great. You learn more that way.
And Malta is such an interesting island because it's one of those islands that got invaded by everyone. And it also has some of the oldest ruins in all of, or actually necropolises, these underground cities where people went to worship and to bury the dead and to do many, many fascinating things that are tens of thousands of years old. So it shows you the whole sweep of European history when you go to Malta. I'm looking at the clock. We have to take a break. To anybody who'd like to call, 800-848-9222 is our number. And I have to make one quick, correction. We had a caller earlier who said that they were very unhappy to hear that the Hilton in Manhattan is closing. It's actually only temporarily closing, knock wood. That's what they're saying. If you go to their website, you'll see that they are closing for the time being to probably save their resources, but they are hoping to reopen. So hopefully that classic property is not gone forever.
It's one of the biggest in town. It has to.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Frommer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. The Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
All right, let's get right back to the phones. We are discussing what movies really bring the travel experience home. And we have Judy on the line from Orange County. Hey, Judy, thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you, Pauline? I'm one of the first people who went to Europe on $5 a day in the 60s.
Wow. Yes. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
that's
great. It was fun. But also the first thing that came to my mind was South Pacific, the movie that was shot in Hawaii. Bali High was shot on the island of Kauai, and when I was young, I couldn't wait to go there, and I actually went as an adult. It's so beautiful. If you see the movie, you'll see the Nurses Beach, where they sang, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. You're going to see Bali High, which is the Nepali coast. It's just beautiful there. And Emil Debeck's plantation became condos, I think.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, that's funny. You know, South Pacific, I've seen that movie. It's a great movie, beautiful scenery, but I never understood the emotional heft of it until I saw the production at Lincoln Center where they wrote in the notes before the show that in the 40s when that came out, the people seeing it would have realized that everybody in the film who's laughing it up and putting coconut bras on and doing silly things, all of those people would have probably been killed in the battles that were just about to hit them after the thing ends. And to me, that totally reshapes the way you see that
it's
work.
It's true. During the original production in 1949, people would sit in their seats after the show was over, sobbing, trying to control themselves to get back up and go out on the street. It was an incredibly cathartic experience for America at the time.
Yeah, they did show Emil Debeck coming back, and, you know, she was so grateful.
Yeah.
And they showed the man, the Bali High, the one who fell in love with
Cable.
Cable, you know, he died. And it also brings out what it was like to live in the 40s with the, you know, you couldn't marry outside your own world. There's a lot in there, you know, which is good
to
understand. It really
is. In a way, that movie also takes you to the foreign country of America as the way it no longer is in many ways.
Right.
You know, it's 1940s are totally different country.
It's true. And they were so, you know, it was such a big thing that he had been married before to a Polynesian woman, and he had two children who were half Polynesian. And
yes, I know. It was a major statement on racism, which for those days was pretty terrific, very, very different than what you saw in other things. Thank you so much for calling, Judy. Let's turn to Mike in Sussex County. Hey, Mike, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, quick hello. I just wanted to run by two movies real quick. One of them, of course, the original Tarzan with Johnny Weissmuller. That'll take you definitely out of the country, just the way things were set up. And the other one is more of a severe drama with Tyrone Power. It was called Nightmare Alley, a movie. I don't know if anybody ever saw it, but I could watch it 100 times in a row.
Nightmare Alley, Tyrone Power. These are great suggestions. I'd love that we're doing this.
Absolutely. All right, we got Gregory on the Jersey Shore. And Gregory, you're about to mention one that is close to my heart. What's your travel movie?
Right. Hi, Pauline and Jason. The movie that I would pick, if you want to call it a travel movie, is the Beatles' first movie, A Hard Day's Night. And the reason I say that is there are so many young people in America and all over the world who made the trip to London and Liverpool because of their love of seeing that movie. They're still making that trip. And if you go to London today, the train stations, specifically Marylebone and Paddington, they look exactly the way the train station looked in the Beatles movie A Hard Day's Night, and you have the black British taxis all lined up. And if you close your eyes, you can almost picture the Beatles still running through the train station. And I know for me, because I watched that movie and grew up with the Beatles, the first time I ever flew on an airplane was to London, and the Beatles brought me to England. And I think there's a lot of young people who feel that way.
Yeah, thank you. That's terrific. What a lovely memory. All right, we have room for one more before we have to take our final commercial break. We'll talk to Adam in Fairfield. Adam, you're live on the Frommer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
I'm in Old Greenwich, Connecticut. I just wanted to say I love your show, and my favorite movie is the Harry Potter movie.
Okay,
that's a good one.
Thank you.
Well, lots of London in that one. We're on a London roll.
Yeah, we are. All right, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after these messages.
The most popular destinations for you and your family, right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
Well, welcome back. You know, we're going to get back to the last two people online, but I just want to make a pitch to please visit us on frommers.com this week. We really are relying on our loyal listeners and readers to keep us afloat in these crazy times. And we have a lot of interesting stories. Something I thought we would discuss on the show, but we won't, was Jason's pretty crazy journey home from London. He just got back this week. And wow, does he have a story to tell? You will read that on frommers.com, as well as lots of really fun diversions. We want to keep the world open to our listeners, even though we are all stuck in our apartments right now. And we're doing our best to make that happen on frommers.com with lots of articles and slideshows and other types of material which have color and light and culture and great photos. So please visit us at frommers.com. Okay, let's get back to the phones. We have Janet in Spring Lake. Janet, you are the most patient listener this hour. We thank you so much. What is your suggestion?
I have three movies.
Okay.
One is just a very fluffy, funny movie called Under the Tuscan Sun with Diane Lane.
Oh, yeah.
It's about her buying an old house in Italy. Mm-hmm. The other one is in French. It's called The Jewish Cardinal, and it's a very fine movie. It shows pictures of Paris. It takes place in Paris. And the character himself goes to Dachau to see where his mother was taken, pictures of Poland, Czechoslovakia. It's not the most pleasant scenery, but it does get there. And another one is Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
Oh, yeah.
And Penelope Cruz. It's about the French taking over the island in Greece during the World War.
And you know what I love about your suggestions? They're great movies, but the first and the last are also really terrific books. If you want to read, Under the Tuscan Sun is a wonderful book about getting to Italy and seeing what that beautiful country is like. And Captain Corelli's Mandolin is another real page-turner of a book, as well as being a great movie. So thank you, Janet. Appreciate that. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. All right. We have a call from Linda in Manhattan. Hey, Linda, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Great theme today. So I have two movies. Well, one is a trilogy, the Before series, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight.
Yep. We hit Before Sunrise, I think, before you tuned in. But the first one is Before Sunrise in Vienna. The second one is Before Sunset in Paris. And where's the third one? Before Midnight.
Before Midnight is the peninsula of Mani in Greece, which I don't know.
Huh.
But that's, I was IMDBing it because I was trying to find Captain Corelli's Mandolin. I'm glad that was mentioned. So that's in Greece. And also my other choice is Fun Mamma Mia, which is Pelion, Skiathos, and Skopelos, all in Greece.
Yes, but not Mamma Mia 2. Interestingly, they went to Croatia. Okay. To shoot that one, but Mamma Mia is not there. And I want to throw in a Greek one of my favorites is Shirley Valentine from 1989. Pauline Collins was nominated for Best Actress about a Liverpudlian housewife who decides to go to Greece, and she just might not come back. It's a great movie.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to get to that one.
All right, terrific. Thank you, Linda. And as I said earlier, we will have all of these on Frommers.com. I also have to put up a gallery, which is what we call a article that has a lot of photos in it, because right before this all hit, I went to the edge. What does that mean? That is the tallest observation deck in the world. It opened like 2 weeks ago at the top of Hudson Yards. A bunch of us carefree journalists went to take a look at it, not realizing what was just around the corner.
You were really living on the edge, yeah.
I really was living on the edge, but it was incredible vistas of New York City. Yeah, just being able to be out there. It's interesting. It's an interesting design because you can probably see it cityscapes of New York right now. It's the only observation deck that's not on the top of a building. Instead, it juts out like a bridge. And of course, right now it feels like a bridge to nowhere. But it's an absolutely gorgeous piece of architecture with glass on all sides. So you have these beautiful views with nothing in your way. And then they have a square of glass in the middle that everybody was lying down on. And because you can see straight down, I can't even remember how many stories, but hundreds of stories down to the ground. And it was a funny thing that kind of was my last foray into travel writing.
Get a real eyeful of the world right before you can't look for a little while.
Yeah, I'm in my apartment right now, and I look into a back garden, so I haven't even seen the street in a couple of days. It's an odd time. What do you look at, Jason? Jason's in L.A.
I've got a decent view of palm trees and some mountains in the distance and the skyline. I'm thinking more and more about this time. I'm looking at it in a positive way. I know we're very scared about a lot, but I think when this is over, we're going to find ourselves transformed in so many deep and meaningful ways. You know, we're learning how to get rid of things that don't work in our life. We're going to bring in things that do. We're thinking about things we want to do with ourselves, including travel, after this is all over. And I think it's a terrible way to hit the reset button, but it is a way to hit the reset button. I think we're all going to come out better for it.
I hope so. Yeah. And my daughters and my husband got to see me do this radio show. At one point I was talking and my daughter, they had been downstairs doing the laundry in the laundry room. And she started like showing me socks as I was on air with all of you.
I think anything's game now. It all works. You know,
anything's game. Next week, we hope to be back on. We have a 98% certain expectation that we will be, although things are changing every day because the building the studio is in may be closing. I don't know. I don't think this will be goodbye, but just in case.
Yeah. But in the meantime, you can find us on our social media. We're on Fromers on Twitter, Fromers on Instagram, Fromers at Facebook. We have a live blog of developments happening on Fromers.com.
Yeah, so visit us there, and we adore you all. Have a great week.
Thank you.